Some radio stations bring you traditional Christmas tunes at this time in December. At Siren, we bring you the best in Yuletide music and the end of the Mayan calendar. Settle back and enjoy. It could be the last show you'll ever catch before ascending to the next level.
The following takes place between the hours of 10:02 p.m. and 11 p.m. GMT on December the 20th, 2012. The marathon has arrived.
It's a bit like being in a long, non-stop Jack Bauer episode in many ways. But, you know, that's important. Directed, of course, by yourself, Graham, with nice split screen and all the rest of bits and pieces. Very good. You get in a member of the police force and he constantly just seems to cut noises off, microphone, all the rest of it. It's unbelievable, but still, never mind. Have you not got a home to go to, Dave?
No, I've been thrown out for
there
the evening.
Are. That's okay. Anyway, as we said, over to Canada now for the fabulous Shane Guy's Western Swing Authority. Shane, I've got to ask the question, in terms of the band itself, which is a mega band, is that because you're an authority on swing? Is it an authority, basically a swing authority in the West? Or is it just a case of, well, it sounded better than WSA?
Well, I don't know. I guess it's could be a little bit of a combination of anything. I guess we, from this part of the world, I guess we are, we probably know a little bit more about Western swing music than a lot of people do around here. But honestly, it was kind of just how it rolled off the tongue. It sounded good, and that's what we went with.
Let's just test that. Graham Harper, Ace BAFTA award-winning director, Western Swing Authority. Is this the sort of band you think, yeah, I want to hear what they're going
to
play?
I'm desperate to hear, yeah.
Desperate.
Sounds good.
Desperate.
I love jazz.
I love a bit of swing.
I assume I'm going to hear some kind of Glenn Miller-y kind of thing.
Be careful. Nicola Clancy, what do you thought, Western Swing Authority?
I think it's going to
sound
fantastic.
It's a Cameron Tilbury recommendation. Mm-hmm. I mean, clearly, you know, things are good for that. And Ed, of course, who was singing earlier this marathon, actually, Graham, with the St. Mary Magdalene's Church Choir, Balegate. They were just there. Are we on that one? You can see us exactly performing wonderful carols, etc. I wasn't sure when Chris Brooke, their choir master, said that Ed has finally come out of the closet as a choir sort of thing. I thought, just no, exactly. You know, please. It's not appropriate in any way, shape or form. But Ed, are you waiting for the Western Swing Authority?
I'm just looking at the westernswingauthority.com here.
Good.
And I'm looking forward to joy, smiles and my feet tapping.
Joy, smiles and feet tapping. Yeah. Stay with us, Shane, because we're going to come back with you after the... Oh, in fact, would you like to introduce it yourself? It is all dolled up. Away you go, sir.
All right, here is the title track off the latest Western Swing Authority album, written by myself and a fellow by the name of Jason Blaine here in Canada. We hope you enjoy it.
In a strange, marvellous way. I did find that quite toe-tapping. What did you think, Ryan?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved it, yeah. It's brilliant.
Nicola?
Yeah, it's brilliant. I wanted to boogie.
Boogie. And a Nicola Clancy boogie is a whole range of things, a different world entirely.
Just blow your nose, Nicola.
Ed?
Yes. Fresh and full of fizz and pizzazz. I love it.
Fresh, full of fizz and pizzazz. And he's saying that in the sixth hour of this broadcasting marathon. I believe you wanted to ask what time put in.
What time? Do you vary your sort of times, your music time that you play? Like, you know, the old 5-4 from Dave Brubeck's Take 5, obviously. And you have your other sort of, I don't know.
I don't know if you can understand the question, Shane. But that
you know,
was
like I know what he's talking about. Yeah, he's just talking about playing different time signatures.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Writing within different time signatures or unusual time signatures in particular. Is that
I just like some that's obviously a bit quirky. You know, the pop group Queen. Oh, the Rock Creek Queen. They often used to write things in not your standard 4-4 time. Which makes it more interesting to listen to, if you know what I mean.
Sure, for sure. And, you know, it just depends on what you're after and certain types of music. I know, certainly, I grew up playing fiddle music, and there's lots of that, especially in Celtic-style fiddle music and in bluegrass, where there's odd time signatures within. So it might start in cut time or 4-4, and then things will just turn on their end, and you'll get these, you know, maybe just one bar of a different time signature, and then it'll flip back. And so it's, I guess the true art in doing that is that if you can make the time signature jump and go back, and nobody really goes, oh, that was weird.
I mean,
just, all kind of seamlessly happens, I think, is the true art to that.
Are you familiar with the UK TV programme The Bill, a police drama?
I'm afraid I'm not.
Well, the music that they did for that was, it did exactly that. I think it was a 7-4 time, the main bit. And then when it got to the sort of the middle section, they actually went back in, they went 7-4, then 4-4, then back to 7-4. And it just made it sound, it made it sound more dramatic, if you know what I mean.
I do, yeah. It's, you know, interesting, and it's, and not everybody would even catch it. You know, you just your regular Joe listening to the radio or listening to that TV show may not even catch that that's happened. They just be like, "Oh, that's an interesting piece of music." They they would never understand what's going on, but it's
I do feel that after 5,125 years celebrating the long Mayan calendar, to have actually reached the stage where we spent 4 or 5 minutes talking about different musical times, wonderful. There's something to be said for Western civilization to kind of reach.
Well,
that
you know
stage.
What? Just in case the world does end, it had to be said.
Yes. It so did.
I think that's absolutely spot on. Graham, any questions from yourself?
Where did you start? Where did you start writing music? Where? Well, that's a tough thing. When did you start?
Precisely which room, Shane, were you actually in?
No, I don't mean... What... I think what I'm trying to say is, what got you on the road to starting to write music and this kind of music? Where were your musical tastes to start with?
Well, I... there's a little bit of a sort of tale there, I guess. I started in music as a child, and I was really involved specifically in... fiddle music, like I said, in traditional Canadian fiddle music. My grandfather was a step dancer, and he did some guest spots on the Don Messer show. And I don't know if you guys know the Don Messer show, but in Canada, it was a really popular show at the time, and it featured a lot of that style of music, traditional fiddle music, step dancing, so that's sort of what got me playing the fiddle. And through that, my parents, they just loved. Anything that's got a good beat you can dance to. And when I was a kid growing up, they would have parties. I remember they had this old reel-to-reel tape machine, and they had all this, just a real eclectic mix of music. But they had two songs in particular that always jumped out at me, and at the time I didn't even know who it was. But it was actually Merle Haggard, and he was doing a version of the Cindy Walker tune, Cherokee Maiden, which Bob Wills made really popular in the 40s. But... and I loved that tune. I couldn't listen to it enough. And then he had another one called Mississippi Delta Blues. And those two songs just, I don't know, there was something about it that just jumped out at me. And they stuck with me for years and years and years. And as I, you know, I got older and I got listening to different types of music, I got looking for where that came from. And I discovered a band called Asleep at the Wheel. And through that, again, it was just I couldn't get enough. So Western swing music... for me, has been a love for a long time, probably since I was in grade school, and I just I've always, you know, which is unusual because I was probably the only kid listening to that stuff, but it just something about it struck a chord with me, and so I, you know, and I've grown up playing in a family band, and we played all different kinds of music, and I sort of drifted more towards country music, and I spent a lot of years playing with different country artists. In Canada, and doing a lot of recording with different country artists, and I started writing with the artists that I was working with. And when I started up this band, the Western Swing Authority, that just seemed to be the next step, is to start writing songs and writing them in the genre in which we play, in the Western Swing genre.
Does that have a huge following, a massive following? I don't know much about country music at all. I mean, apart from I hear it, obviously, but I don't go to country music concerts and whatever, and I don't know how popular it is.
Well, country is, it's very popular here. Western swing would be sort of a subgenre of country music, and would be, I don't want to say it's popular, but it's more of an underground following, I think. You find that people that know Western swing music, they really know it, and they love it, and they go hunting for it. whereas you won't hear it as much on top 40 country radio, yet the influence of it spills in to artists like George Strait and Joe Nichols, and there's Reba McEntire. They all have songs. Vince Gill, they all have songs that take from that genre. And they all have obviously have been influenced greatly by it. You know, Bob Wills, who was the biggest influence in Western swing music, touted as the creator of Western swing music, is one of the very few artists that's in the Country Music Hall of Fame, but also in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because artists in the country genre loved him and followed him, grew up listening to him, but also artists like the Rolling Stones grew up listening and to artists like Bob Wills. So I don't know if that answered your question or not. I kind of got off track, but...
It's funny listening to the song. I can't remember the actual wording, but you mentioned honky tonk women.
Yes.
And it's funny because I heard once the Rolling Stones actually do a country version of Honky Tonk Woman.
Really?
Which it was intended to be. When they first wrote that, it was intended to be I don't know if it was going to be that version. I think it was just a country version. And I heard it. They actually put it on some album sometime. And it was interesting. Not as great, I'm afraid, as the one that actually went on, the exists that we all know. Because that's what they do. They do that. They don't do what you do.
Yes, and nobody does it like they do.
The Western Swing Authority come pretty darn close, I think.
I think you do.
You're not as old as Mick Jagger anyway, so let's be honest.
You've got a few years on me, yeah.
Oh. Your music also makes me think of, I wasn't alive, and I know you weren't, but whenever you see old Bob Hope or those kind of crooners of the 30s, late 30s, etc., that was the kind of music that was that music was in their shows. They often had bands playing.
Yeah. I'm delighted. That kind of music... Well, Western swing music is sort of a culmination. It's a combination of that big band swing and jazz and blues and country. And so you've got all these country instruments, but they're doing a lot of things similar to what a big band might do. So they'll play lines within that would normally be done by horns, but in this case it's done with fiddles and steel guitars.
Yeah. We've got time for one last question. It's going to go to Dave Milling. Dave, got just a question?
Thank you. Yeah, just a quick one, really. It's a bit of... It's a bit of an amusing one, I think. Are you aware of a particular song called The Rodeo Song by Gary Lee and Showdown?
Yes, I am.
That really got me interested in Western Swing, if you know what I mean, in the swing music. I know we can't possibly play any of it on the radio.
Absolutely.
But I first heard it...
Don't hum it either.
No, it's I first... I'll play it outside for you, Graham.
Yeah, I saw you'd be behind the ground, but you...
it's... What I particularly liked... back in on Radio 1, the main UK sort of pop station back in the early 90s, two DJs featured it on a handover, but heavily edited... And I think they got it re-released as a single in the UK. And I can tell you what, it really introduced me to that sort of genre of music. Probably not the most appropriate song to interest me in swing, very.
It's certainly one you'll never forget.
It's certainly not, is it? I mean, but what I particularly liked about it was you know, the sort of almost sort of rock guitar, not the rock guitar, but the electric guitar, but with the strings as well.
Yeah.
And there we have it. We'll have to hold fire on that. I've just been updating our Facebook page. Ed, if you'd like to check out the sequence, you'll see that Graham Harper is now our cover boy from that point of view. He's now in full force as far as Facebook is concerned for our package on sirenonline.co.uk, Southside Broadcasting. From that point of view, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us, Shane Guys?
I certainly have, yes. It's been great. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Can we look forward to connecting with you again in 2013, assuming the Myathon calendar moves into the next phase?
I think it's a safe bet that we're probably going to continue on, and I would love to be back.
Great. Here's the British answer to the Western Swing Authority, then. And as far far as I'm aware, there's no truth in the rumour that Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, started off 5,125 years ago at the beginning of the Mayan calendar, although rumour would have it that probably they are still going in their own way. Brown Sugar there. Graham has left the studio to actually be played various sort of tunes. Hopefully he'll be back in before too long, because otherwise who's going to actually greet the fabulous, amazing talent that is another one from the fine Cameron Tilbury stable of top wonderful artists? We've just featured Shane Guys from Western Swing Authority. Now we're heading off to who, Nicola?
Leslie Curtis.
The legend Leslie Curtis, who's actually there, who hasn't walked a kilometre. She hasn't walked several yards, walked before she walked a mile. How are you, Leslie? Welcome aboard.
I'm very well, thank you, and thank you for inviting me on your show.
It's wonderful to actually touch base with your good self. Now, a relatively newcomer to the entertainment field, or have you been going at it for a good few years?
Oh, no, I've been going at it for a good few years, but only the last only the last few years been writing my own material.
So a kind of classic overnight success that's taken a sort of few sort of weeks to actually get sorted through. Excellent.
Absolutely.
Well, let's not mess around with this. Let's move straight into this fantastic piece of music. We referred to metric measurements a wee while ago. This is, of course, you're good singing. We'll ask all about it. So stay online. You know,
okay.
Earlier in the sequence, bless them, we had a situation where we were all connected together with Seth Alley, played his tune, went back to him. He put the phone down. No, no. We did get back to him afterwards to say, you know, don't. He was obviously so nervous, but that's all right. Aww. He's American. Bless him. He's allowed to be nervous.
It's glued to my ear. The phone is glued to my ear.
Good. Excellent. Well, here we are. Leslie Curtis, Before She Walked a Mile.
Thank you.
Splendid. What did you make of that, Nicola?
Oh, that was absolutely lovely.
Audio perfection in a matter of moments, I feel. Leslie Curtis and Before She Walked a Mile. Excellent stuff there. Nicola, questions for Leslie, please.
Yeah, what inspired you to do music and how long have you been doing it for?
Well, I've been singing for a very long time, since I first started singing when I was 15, folk club, and things like that, and progressed through to rock bands and country music and jazz, and then the last, since about the turn of the millennium, I started thinking about writing as well as singing, and wrote an album then called Shock Delayed. This one is covered over the last couple of years, and it's sort of covered quite a turbulent time in my personal life, so it's all reflected in, the album's called Naked, so that was the inspiration.
Well, there we are, and I trust you didn't record it naked at the time. Well,
no, no, no.
Done.
We use that joke all the time on stage.
Yeah, I sense that, Leslie, which is why I thought, shall I use that? I thought, well, you know, it's 10:30. Well, you know, is that? And obviously, before you walked a mile, it's not a case of, right, after this, I'll do the kilometre, I'll do a marathon, we'll work on that basis, 10 miles and so on. Very good, but excellent stuff. How do people actually get in touch with you? Are you on Facebook? Are you on Twitter? Do you have a website?
Yeah, I've got my website, which is www.lesliecurtis.com, and you can get in touch with me there. I've got a Facebook. If you go Leslie Curtis Singer, you can catch up with me there. And also, if you do go onto my website and give me your email address, you'll get a special track that's not been released on this album. Which is called Pieces. The whole album itself is about a realisation of breakup, split, you know, and then finding myself.
It's worthwhile noting as well that when Leslie was saying at the turn of the millennium, she was actually referring to the most recent millennium, because clearly we've had 5,125 years as far as the Mayan calendar is concerned. She might have quite rightly been referring to, it was the term between sort of the year 2000 onwards, really. It's nice
stuff. It's one continual line, is it not?
This is all circle, you know, one of those two things. We had Harry Chapin's circles earlier done by the New Seekers, so classic stuff on that side of things. Well, coming up next, Ilana Rain, back with us hopefully from Los Angeles. Leslie, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic debut here on the Myathon special on Sirena 107.3 FM?
Yes, thank you very much.
And can we look forward to connecting with you again in 2013, assuming all goes well?
Okay, lovely.
Leslie Curtis will also return.
This is the nice and sweet.
Splendid. Wish he could be like David Watts. Well, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Ilana Rain, you're back with us. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, Alex. Thank you. I'm sitting at Tony's in downtown LA with my friend Thomas, and it's about 18 degrees Celsius, and we're in our t-shirts and just really having a great lunch.
Excellent. Because it is, I mean, currently in Los Angeles, the time is...
The time is 2:30 in the afternoon.
Exactly. And in here, in Lincoln, it's 2:35. Well, 2:34. Actually, it's 10:34. What am I saying? It's 22:34, 20 seconds. So, we've got two directors together now, because Ilana, obviously, you're at the start of your directing career. Graham is just in the middle of his. Middle, you know what he said.
Very nice.
Picked up BAFTA Awards, Doctor Who, Coronation. In fact, Graham, just talk us through what you've been doing to actually get to the studio today, because you've moved from being on set directing one of Britain's premier soap operas, Coronation Street. You've worked on EastEnders, of course, as well, in Manchester, editing duties, and then all the way over from Manchester to Lincoln.
Yes. In the pouring rain.
In the pouring rain.
Slow, loads of boring people in cars.
I'm going to send Dave Milling out if he can't keep himself quiet. You know, he's a naughty boy in the car there. It's all right. Yes, carry on.
He's just very funny, that's all.
Oh, well, yeah, exactly. But,
sorry.
You know, if we want sound effects, we'll bring in candle laughter, as I'm sure Ilana will attest to.
Don't need it.
No, very true. Anyway, Ilana, have you got any questions you'd like to put to Graham? Have you heard him as yet on the show, or has it been a case of no? You've been enjoying the cafeteria songs at the whole thing as you're gearing yourself up, obviously, to take on board the mantle of this whole sequence that is the Myathon.
I'm sad to say I wasn't able to listen because I was in some LA traffic driving, and I was told by someone that it's just not a good idea.
No,
to
it isn't.
Take notes on a radio show while driving.
It's not good at all, and we can adhere to you from that point of view. Well, I mean, Graham can possibly sort of fill you in on what you sort of missed. What has she missed then, Graham?
In what way?
In the show so far, in terms of, you know, obviously she hasn't been with us for an hour, so she will have missed.
There's been a lot of giggling going on, quite intense. A lot of humour, though, definitely. Mm. And it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, there we are. So that says it all, really, doesn't it?
It doesn't tell you what's been going on, though, at all.
Well, you know, we've had the Western Swing Authority, Shane Guys from Canada. We've had Leslie Curtis with Before She Walked a Mile. Leslie's saddened beyond belief that you weren't actually able to listen to her tune, but, you know, she's gone. It's all right. There's no opportunities there. And Belinda Wallace, of course, joined us to put the Australian perspective further to us from that point of view. Ed Wellman, he whose voice you can't get enough of, Ilana, yes, it can be said, is currently making the tea. And coffee, but mostly tea, I think. Is it tea, Nicola?
No, coffee. I've gone for coffee.
You've gone for coffee. All right.
I'm being slightly distracted by an incredibly loud acoustic version of Stairway to Heaven. And it's really, they're rocking out.
Yeah. Well, that's got to be a sign. So just set the scene.
I'm happy, I think it's good.
Whereabouts, once again, in Los Angeles, are we sort of with you here? I mean, because I know you wanted me to dress up in a yellow bikini, and I said, it's not going to happen, Ilana, not in this sort of 5,000 years.
Alex, it was a yellow Halston Ultra Suede suit. I sent you a photo.
I know. Exactly.
A onesie.
Go back in the archive and take a look.
Yeah, a yellow Halston Ultra Suede suit.
Yeah. Leisure suit.
Well, I mean, you know, maybe Ilana, sometime in private we can talk, all right? But, you know, not
we're
across the Atlantic.
We're going to call you Rodeo Boy.
Yeah. You see what happens. You know, you see what it's a fantastic scenario. This. I tell you what, Ilana, you're ready. Are we ready for another Mike Dooley Thought to the Universe?
Yeah.
I'm ready.
You're ready? Well, just as well, Mike's ready as well. Here he comes.
When in a hurry, step one for changing the entire world is falling in love with it as it already is. Same for changing yourself. You like the universe.
There we are, you see.
It sounds like Hal, doesn't it? 2001, Hal.
I agree.
It was, yes, creepy.
Mm.
Well, never mind. I just thought it was change others, change yourself. That's step one in terms of the whole sequence that you need to work through on that basis. So, Ilana, is there a sense of anticipation now as you guys are sort of gearing up? Because I was just been explaining to Nicola what the sort of schedule is as far as we're concerned here. And we're obviously online on sirenonline.co.uk and we'll be online with our Myathon until 6 p.m. on the 21st of the month of December. You guys start in how many hours from now?
Well, I'm meeting Phil outside the building at 7:30. And
now, this is the first time you've actually met Phil Leonis, isn't it, of course?
Yes, yeah. That's true. So I'm going to prepare him with a few photos of what I actually look like.
I've met you both. You're both wonderful people. You've both been over to Lincoln. I like to feel as though we were the bridge that kind of brought New York, Los Angeles together to ensure that you could connect on this magical thing. So that's good news.
You are. You're a magical node. You're a magical node of positivity and connectivity, Alex.
Thank you. I've liked to be described as a magical node at the best of times. It's node, not nose. But there you go. And do you think, Ilana, that so far we're succeeding in, of course, something you described the show as a wee while ago, which was, in essence, mind-expanding radio?
Yes, good. It is. Because I think anything, you know, like I keep beating the drumbeat of avoiding corporate media and just the constant onslaught. So I feel that whenever there are voices out there that are helping people just step outside of their frame of reference, step outside of the paradigm that can be so negative, you know, that's a very good thing, and it can expand the mind and to, you know, just international cooperation also, and learning about different cultures and ways of life. And I think it's all great what you do.
Now, we've got Gene Bruce Scott joining us, Randy Reinholtz, of course, Gene Bruce Scott from Magnum PI, from Airwolf, and of course, one of the co-founders with Randy Reinholtz of Native American Voices. Ethan Detmeyer will hopefully be with us as well. Peter Franklin will be joining us from New York, and also Dave Bradley, the editor-in-chief of SFX magazine, will be there. We're going up to Fiona Curzon, so I will hold this quick question for the next hour, when I'll be asking you to actually share with us what the team should be prepared for when Sean O'Donnell, of course, president of the International Battlestar Galactica Association, will be joining us at 5:40 a.m. this morning, which is, of course, 40 minutes after you guys will have actually started, and, of course, when it's midnight in Peru, which I suppose is great if you're an Inca, but if you're a Mayan, forget it, you're Mexico. It's all right. We went through that earlier in the production. That's still to come in terms of the overnight delights. And I believe Steve Court is coming in to actually do some live performances. So just as in those days in Dulwich, back in the 20th century, Graham, I've got some actors, or at least one actor, because I don't think we can afford many more, coming in to actually do some performances in the morning from 3 a.m. onwards. Very good. Is he on something, do you think? Is he on something? It's an allergy. Nuts. You're right, Nicola. You shouldn't have given him a peanuts. He's obviously got a different allergy.
Ellen, are you still there?
Is who still there? Yeah, Ilana's still there.
Ilana, big yes.
Oh, yeah, I'm soaking in the vitamin D, man.
Can I ask you two questions, Eleanor?
Of course, yes.
Whereabouts exactly are you now? Where in L.A. are you? I don't know L.A. very well, but I want...
I'm on 7th Street and Imperial. So I'm in the downtown district, the historic downtown, which... you know, in cinema, it's just been used in the past for, and still in the current future, I actually still buy a movie set, to substitute for New York City, which is just wonderful to see that. And it's a little confusing and disorienting, but in the best way.
But a bit like Home from Home. Last week you were in Brooklyn, now you're actually in 7th Street and Imperial in Los Angeles. Semi-downtown. Yes.
Can I ask you another question?
Of course you can.
Do you know anybody called Amy Krell?
Amy, no, I don't.
Oh, okay. Ooh. This is a producer who lives in L.A. She's, you sound very young. I'm not going to ask you how old. You don't have to, but I'll tell you.
She's
40.
Oh, good heavens.
To me, that's very young.
Oh, so that's very true.
You've got plenty, because you can be 19.
She's not 19, but I would never give a lady's age away. She's not. Yeah, she's no, dead 19 plus, right? I just understand.
Yeah,
would you like me to meet Amy? Would you like me to meet her?
Well, I think You sound like you should meet each other, yeah.
Mm. You see, these are what you call networking in areas through the magic node.
Before I tell you anything more, we'll do this obviously off air.
Of course.
I'll pass it on. But,
I love it. That's brilliant.
But I want to know, what are you doing now? Not in this minute, but what are you working on, or what are you directing?
Sure. Well, right now I'm in pre-production for a short film in conjunction with the Royal Observatory. It's being produced by Louis Xavi, and I'm doing some producing on that as well. And we're aiming to go to camera sometime in February, if I'm permitting. And I'm also finishing working on my feature film script, Alignment Project, and that's currently in development. And I was recently just invited to Sundance to pitch it in order to get it made. So that's exciting and going to be a tremendous amount of work just to, you know, get ready for that. But things are just very, very forward motion right now.
That's so very good.
Good things are happening, particularly with Sundance. Ilana, we'll be with you again in about an hour or so, probably less than that from now. We can continue this conversation then. Fiona Curzon is hopefully up next as a solid, wonderful actress from London. Here's Electric Light Orchestra. Happy trails for now, Ilana, and enjoy the sunshine.
Thank you, Alex. Bye.
Ocean's daughter.
They can't. The Electric Light Orchestra can't get it out of my head. Yeah, it's almost the definition of Hades to actually have a Doctor Who aficionado sort of just chuntering away about Head Davros and various other things, and I'm sort of thinking, if I had that baseball bat...
don't worry, I'll go into the House of Elliot in a bit.
Yeah, fine. We know you're a fan, but yeah, just hold that fire for a few moments.
Yes.
So far, you've missed such delights as Cameron Tilbury's first appearance on the show. Is Cameron coming back, by the way? I'm not sure whether we scheduled him to come back or not, really.
I'm sure we did.
I think we had. We've certainly got Joe Leah Tilbury coming up after the news at 11 p.m. UK time. Michelle Monroe back tomorrow morning. Annette Andre, wonderful. On top form, Seth Alley, Tallulah Randall, Arthur Weingarten, Richard Editor, Deputy Editor of SFX Magazine, Rain Town, Kelly Duncan Joyner, the St. Mary Magdalene's Church Choir, Bellgate, Richard Moore from Mint Audio Restoration, Kenny Halliday, Sarah Chase, Belinda Warner, Shane Guys, and Leslie Curtis, as well as Ilana Rain and Phil Leonis, have been kind of telephonically connecting with us as we head into, can you believe it, our 7. Yes, the 7th magical hour, right. Graham, of our whole sequence here. It continues ever onwards when Joe Leah Tilbury will hopefully be connecting with us. Now, we had thought we might get Katie Grimason online. Do you think she's around? I mean, Fiona Curzon doesn't seem to be, so I thought maybe Katie Grimason might be. The line we actually had seemed to be sort of just, just non-connecting, really. So she's got a few moments to actually work through from that point of view. I don't know what will happen with respect to this, Graham, but a musical choice from yourself. What would you like to see if we've got it in Mr. Computer? Bearing in mind, Mr. Computer had a nervous breakdown about 3.5 hours ago.
I've forgotten completely what the name of it's called, but it's the latest Rolling Stones album, and I know what it's called. A track
from... Oh, is that it, Nicola? Is that
it's
called, in pain?
It's from...
Yeah,
is it?
But it's called...
Sorry, Rolling Stones, did you say?
The latest song.
Unlikely that we'll have... Well, who knows? We've already played one Rolling Stones routine.
You've already played the band, one of my favourite bands, but my favourite song from them is actually Mr. Blue Sky.
Ah, yes. Well, that's not going to be played.
Thank you.
Sorry, Dave, I'm telling it as it is. We'll see how things... Graham, have we got it sorted?
We can do something.
We can always do something. That's what we actually do. Something. Hard enough.